this morning. A wonderful song we just sung, Mindset, and be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to serve one another, a wonderful song. Always a joy as we go throughout our songs. We come together. It's good to see everyone here. The title of this morning's lesson is Who is in the Audience? Who's that in the audience? Not necessarily looking at every one of you here and trying to figure out who's all here. Focus of the lesson as we go through would be pointing out that we should see Jesus, or see our God, see our Lord. We should know that God is always in the audience. Everything we do in our lives from day to day, God is always in. So as they open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson, that'll be our first point. God is always there. Turn along with me to Psalms. To Psalm 139, the 139th Psalm. And look with me starting there in verse 10, 7. It says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Shiloh, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Where can we go? Where is it in this world that you can truly go and not be where God's at? There's nowhere we can go. There's nowhere that you can go to try and hide from our God and hide yourself from. Our God sees all things. He is in every place. In Proverbs chapter 15, and look with me there and in verse 3, it says, the eye of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Again, even though that God does not like and has no part to do with sin and evil and the ways of the world, He still sees it all. He's still in those areas for those who may be faithful and caught up in a bad situation, in a bad place. He's there when the evil decide to finally turn to God. Otherwise, how could we ever have our sins forgiven? God knows all things. He sees all things. His eyes are everywhere. As Tim read this morning in Jeremiah, chapter 23, they are pointing out again that our God is everywhere. Jeremiah 23, verse 23, as it reads, says, am I God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Does he not fill it all? Nowhere we can go. And I believe mankind gets caught up. We get caught up in this mindset of I can hide from certain people. I can do certain things where no one will know. No one will find out. We try to keep our secrets. But there is no secret hidden from our God. In Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, and looking there and in verse 6, Matthew 6, looking at verse 6. It says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, even here, as we go to God in prayer, He's telling you to go in and have our time with God alone. But just because no one else knows that you're praying, God knows that you're praying to Him. God knows what you are doing. You can be somewhere that no one else in the world knows. None of your family or friends. But God sees it all. God is always there. There's no one, nothing that can hide from Him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm looking there and in verse 13. It says, and no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I'll take time to look at a few examples this morning. Look at the point that God sees it all. Although it may appear in the situation of itself and that these people might be on their own, that it's just these two people right here, and in the storyline there's no one else in the story, but then it brings up, God saw it, God heard it, God knew what they were doing. It's no different for us today. God sees it all. In Genesis chapter 3, going back to the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, and looking there in verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Here they as soon as they eat of the tree in which God told them not to eat, the Lord appears to them in the garden. Though he comes up to them saying, "Where are you?" We know God knows where they're at. God knew what they had done. That's why the Lord has appeared to them at this time. We read the situation, it would appear that it would have just been Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden. And no other would be there, but then as soon as it happened, the Lord knows. The Lord saw and heard what they had done, knew that they had given in to this temptation. No hiding from our God. In Genesis chapter 16. In Genesis chapter 16, even in a situation where one might be fleeing from others, here Hagar, of course, has been conceived with Abraham's child. And upset Sarah, and Sarah is harsh to her. Of course, before their name changed to this, I'm saying the name wrong. You're talking about Sarah or Abraham. But as she flees, read with me here in verse 6. It says, "But Abram said to Sarah, 'Behold, your servant is in your hand. Do to her as you please.' And Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. And the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of the water in the wilderness, in the spring of the way of Shur. He said, 'Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from, and where are you going?' She said, 'I am fleeing from the mistress Sarah.' The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude.'" Again, so here as Hagar is fleeing a situation, trying to get away from other people, might have been able to hide from Abram and Sarah and everyone else that might come looking for the Lord. Knew where she was. Knew she was fleeing. Knew of the situation. But he says, "I will be with you. Go back. I will multiply your children." There's no fleeing the situation. God saw the situation. God understood that he had made a promise to Abram and Sarai, and that they would bear a child. But this is not the plan that God had for them. But because of their mistake, he goes ahead. Does bless Hagar, that she ends up having this son that descendants do multiply. In Joshua chapter 7, again, another situation in which as they go into the land of Canaan and they start to conquer, they go against the Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, and as they continue to move forward, moving from one city to the next, they thought that they had it in their hands. They thought that they would be able to easily overcome this next town. So they said, "Hey, just this mount, that should be good enough." But things did not work out. And they were chased back. And so Joshua is upset. Joshua is actually crying and praying to the Lord here. In verse 8 it says, "Oh Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies?" Well, why are we being chased back? And so in verse 10 it says, "The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings." And so here, again, Joshua didn't know about it. Joshua didn't know who had done this. Joshua was unaware. They attacked Jericho, and it worked well. They come to the next place, and as they're attacking, it didn't go well. And so he's like, well, what is the difference? Why do you bring us this far if we don't win? God answers, because there are those who are hiding things, though the leader of Israel does not know. God, in verse 21 here, finally bringing this, says, "When I saw among the spoils the beautiful cloak, the shanner, the 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. See, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath." Here, a person had taken all these things and hidden. Who else would have known? But the Lord. God sees all things. God knows when you've done something. God knows when you've said something. God sees it all. Again, going to David and Bathsheba, David thought he had come up with a perfect plan to cover up the things that he had done. As he saw Bathsheba bathing and lusted after her, asked who she was, and then had her come to him, and then she ended up conceiving a child. So he tries to cover that up by bringing her husband home. And of course, he ends up trying to cover it up, ends up covering it up by sending him to his death. So what do we have here? 2 Samuel chapter 11. In verse 27, it says, "And when the morning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." The Lord knew. And so the Lord, knowing what David had done, sends Nathan to David. And he comes and tells him this story, and David gets upset, he gets mad, and says that this man needs to be put to death. And in verse 7 of chapter 12, it says, "Nathan said to David, You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king of Israel, I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you the master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if this were too little, I would have added to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and killed him with the sword of the Ammonites." And as you read here again, David has covered it all up. You know, he made a mistake, and then he's like, "All right, I can figure this out. I'll have him come home, and since he's been away and in a battle, you know, he'll miss his wife." But he was dedicated to his men. He would not do that. David tried to get him drunk, and he would not do that. So David had a kill. And then you would think, all right, it's covered up. But the Lord knew. The Lord knows. Just as one might come through and they come to their parents and they might be able to tell a lie, and the parents don't, you know, then one might feel like they've got away. But God knows. God knows our secrets. God knows if you have sinned or not. But not just on the evil things. God knows the good things that you do also. Let us not just focus on that. Let us know that God sees all things. He sees the good also. God was there when our Lord obeyed Him, when He was baptized, setting an example unto all, fulfilling righteousness for us. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13, Matthew chapter 3 and looking there in verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Here again, God is there. God sees. He was with our Lord through it all. He saw his faithfulness. He saw his suffering and his persecution that he went through. God was there. He also sees when we are obedient and faithful to him. He is there when we go through our temptations, as we go through our trials. In Acts, if you will, in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And picking up in verse 54, as Stephen here has gone forth and preached the word of God. And as he has preached and taught and he's put on trial here, he is straightforward with them. They are in the wrong. So we read here in verse 54. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out to the Lord Jesus, "Receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Here, as he, again, in appearance, that he is by himself, in appearance that he has been forsaken, but the Lord saw his sacrifice. God knew what was taking place. We'll think that Stephen has been rewarded for his faithfulness to God, for teaching the truth, for dying in the name of the Lord. God saw these things. God rewards those who are faithful to his servants. Paul, as he continued to preach, and as he had to go from one place to the other, and worried about going to certain places, and scared that he might suffer in certain places, which we know he certainly did. Acts 19, verse 9 reads, it says, "But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way of the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul." This goes to show that God is with Paul. Verses of as Paul is continuously on his journey, and we know that he, I'll find a verse later for you if you'd like. Paul, as he was going to trial, and God told him that he would be safe until he got to Rome. That Paul had to go and speak the word of God. God was with him in all things. And even further than just our actions, bring out a point that God is there in the audience to everything. That even as we have to control our emotions, our thoughts, our words, because God hears and sees it all. Again, you go back to the beginning of time, go back to Genesis chapter 4, and if you go back to Genesis, and it shows us here, Genesis chapter 4, and in verse 6, it says, "The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? Why is your conscience fallen? Here we see Cain and Abel make their sacrifice. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He did not accept Cain. And this caused Cain to be upset, caused Cain to be angry, and caused him to, of course, end up killing his brother. But here God knew and could see that he was upset. God tried to point him in the right direction. God knew his emotions. God understood that he was angry, and he said, if you do well, will you not be rewarded? So again, God knows our emotions. He knows where we stand. And that if we cannot control those things, what lies at the door? How the temptation is just there, as it was for Cain. And that if he went the other direction, if he said, yeah, God, I understand. I could have done better. I didn't make the right sacrifice. Whatever it may have been, he could have made it right. But instead, the temptation was there. Go the other direction. He rose to slay his own brother. God knew their emotion. God in Genesis chapter 6 knew the thoughts of all men. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Here again, it brings out that God knows the intentions of every man, of the hearts of all men. God sees, hears, and knows everything about you. And we might get in those arguments with one another, with somebody, but you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what I feel. You cannot. God does. God knows it all. God sees it all. So therefore, we have to control ourselves. God knows every word that comes out of our mouth. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. As it reads here, it brings out, it says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Everything that comes out of your mouth. Again, that's why we have basically the entire chapter, almost the whole chapter there in James, dedicated to what comes out of our mouth. How hard it is to control, but we need to watch what we say. God knows everything we say. He hears everything we say. And we will be judged according to our actions. We'll be judged by the things that God knows about us, which is, again, everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And looking there in verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Again, we go through the lesson, we go through these scriptures, and we ask the question, what does God see? He sees it all. Is there anywhere that I can go in secret, in private, so that no one can know? Maybe. Do something in this world that no other person in the world will ever know that you've done. We know that God does. God is always in the audience. God is always there watching. And we often bring up the point that we have to watch what we do. We know that we have young ones that are always watching us. And they're ready to imitate what we're doing. We have kids, grandkids, or again, and just being here in the building, there are plenty of kids that are watching everybody. They do imitate. They imitate others. Sometimes I have to search and figure out where it is when I get hurt or said or did or something. Eventually you figure it out. Oh, they saw it on this. Or they heard someone else say that. But it's because someone else said it. Someone else did it. They don't usually just come up with it all by themselves. But further than that, God is always watching us. And we will have to give an account for our actions, for our words. God knows our thoughts, and we have to control those things to keep us from acting and saying the things that may come out of our mouths. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do so, to come forward, to be baptized, to wash your sins away. If you're here and you have obeyed the gospel and there's something else that we can do for you, we let it be known. Stand and sing.